Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 19. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand in the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me."
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
The reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there were no guest room available for them.
Luke 2, 8 to 16, the shepherds go to Bethlehem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to you and whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger.
Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had to call together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out there of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented with him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Why do we have a service like this every year around Christmas? Lessons and carols, we sometimes call it. And it is this service of readings and carols, and what does it have to do with Christmas? Well, it is a little bit like connect the dots. The young people have done some connect the dots. And whilst you connect numbers and little dots on a piece of paper, slowly but surely you see an image emerge. And so Mercedes has a nice snowflake there, or a star. And it is a little bit like this. Our Bible readings are like the dots that connect the story of God with his people. And so in our very first reading, we heard about how man and woman turned away from God. And by doing that, by making that choice to not hear what God wanted them to do, they made the choice and they had to leave the garden in the end. It was as if they were building a wall between themselves and God by not hearing, by not obeying, by turning away and going to do their own thing. They built a wall. They were not the only ones. It has been the curse of humanity ever since. We go and do our own thing. We do not hear what God wants us to do. And in doing so, this wall becomes bigger and stronger and thicker all the time. Until in the end, we cannot see God anymore. We cannot hear God anymore. And very soon, in our first reading, it became clear that man or women would never be able to break down that wall. All that we would be doing was build it up again and again. So in our very first story from the Bible, we already heard that God promised that he himself would find a way to break down that wall between us and God. And the readings following on from that was again and again that promise of God, I will give you a savior. I will be the one who will ultimately break down that wall again between humanity and God. And that is why Jesus was born. So the first half of our readings was about God's promise for humanity that had turned away from him. The second part of our readings were about how that was happening. And that is why Jesus was born, and he was going to turn around everything. He was going to do a new thing and break down that wall. And in our readings, we see that from the very beginning, it was clear that this was a special birth. Heaven and earth were involved in it. There were angels, there were parents, there were shepherds, wise men, animals, the whole of the universe, there were stars. The whole of the universe was involved and knew about this special birth. God becoming a little baby, God coming to live among us in this form of a vulnerable little baby. We have one Bible reading left. And Sarah will read that for us in a minute. And that is the story of where it went from there. Because once that baby was born, Jesus did not stay a baby. The story continues. The story of God with his people continues after the birth of Jesus. And Jesus grew up and became a man. And slowly, but surely, he was taking down that wall. He would befriend the people that nobody wants to be friends with. He would reach out to people that nobody wants to have anything to do with. He would challenge the people in power and ask them what they were doing. He would enable and encourage the people who had no power and taught them the love of God, what God was doing for them. You know, those in power, they do not normally like when their power is taken away. And so they found a way to get rid of Jesus. They killed him on a cross. And for some time, it seemed as if that wall was bigger and thicker and stronger than it had ever been. But God's love was stronger. God's power and forgiveness and love for the world was stronger than what the world did to his son. And so just before Jesus died, he said to the people who killed him, I forgive you. He prayed for them. And he continued to love them until the very end. And with that, by doing that, he truly showed us God's love. And by praying for him, by saying, you may kill me, you may do that to me, but I love you and God loves you anyway. With one sweep, he destroyed that wall forever. Forever, that wall between ourselves and God has been destroyed by Jesus dying for us. God's power, God's love, was so much stronger. It was as if Jesus had turned on a light for us. And finally, finally, we can see again that great brightness of God's love for us, the depth and the width and the warmth and the light and everything we can see in a clear light because of Jesus Christ. That is why we call him the light of the world. It is through him and in him and because of him that we have this view of God's love for us. Sarah is going to read for us about that because it requires a choice that we have to make. Are we going to continue to be part of that wall that is built and can be built between ourselves and God? Or are we going to warm ourselves and to be drawn to that light that is Jesus Christ, the light of the world?
Christ comes to the world. John 1, verses 1 to 14. Before the world began, the Word was there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there with God in the beginning. Everything was made through him, and nothing was made without him. In him there was life, and that life was the light for the people of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not defeated it. There was a man named John, who was sent by God. He came to tell the people about the light. Through him, all the people could hear about the light and believe. John was not the light, but he came to tell people about the light. The true light was coming to the world. This is the true light that gives light to all people. The Word was already in the world. The world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to the world that was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But some people did accept him. They believed in him, and he gave them the right to become children of God. They became God's children, but not in the way babies are usually born. It was not because of any human desire or plan. They were born from God himself. The Word became a man and lived among us. We saw his divine greatness, the greatness that belongs to only the Son of the Father. The Word was full of grace and truth.